From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. A gubernatorial race overshadowed by accusations of unfairness from both sides ended on Saturday when officials certified Republican Brian Kemp as Georgia's governor-elect. Democrat Stacey Abrams is not challenging that outcome, but in a fiery speech slammed the electoral process that produced it. We had planned to talk about school safety today, but given the events over the weekend, instead we turned to Political Rewind host Bill Nigut for analysis. Bill, thanks so much for being here.
Glad to be here, Virginia.
So Brian Kemp will be our next governor, but Stacey Abrams did not concede exactly. Can you bring us through some of the significant twists and turns over the weekend?
How much time do we have? The election was certified by the Secretary of State's office by, again, of course, Brian Kemp has stepped down from that job. Robin Crittenden is the acting Secretary of State. And late Friday, she certified the election results from all 159 counties and declared Brian Kemp the winner. He won with a margin of some 53,000 votes. And Stacey Abrams made a speech, gave a speech to supporters out at her campaign headquarters late Friday afternoon, in which, as you said, she was defiant. She said, "I will not concede this race because of all of what she claims is corruption, malfeasance, denial of people's rights to register and to vote," and announced that she's forming a new organization, which is going to dig deeply into what she sees as problems with the election system here and corruption in the election system, and that will be her next move.
And also announced the intent to file a lawsuit.
Yes, this organization will gather evidence and information, and then she says she plans to file a federal lawsuit challenging the entirety of Georgia's election machinery.
So thanks for clarifying that. She did also say, I was reading some of the, analysis over the weekend.
Sure.
The Conservative Weekly Standard called her speech the single most ungracious and self-serving concession speech we can remember. How has it been received in general? She being regarded as a sore loser who took it all too far?
I think we have to be look at this very carefully, because I think the way she ended her campaign is going to loom large over the next couple of years in terms of Georgia's reputation nationwide. When politicians, you know this, you run a campaign, you do it with your whole heart, your whole soul. You do it with a passion that is, I think, greater than many other kinds of passion in the world, and it's very difficult to lose. I think there was some of that in Abrams over the weekend, that speech she gave. She had a lot of people around the country on her side. Oprah, for goodness sakes, was there for her. So there were a lot of people who she felt she had to perform well for. So on one hand, there's the personal aspect of it, the bitterness of defeat. But on the other hand, I think right now she needs to be very careful and balance how she moves forward. It's one thing to say, I need to pursue, as I've said all along, corruption in Georgia's election system. She believes that to be the case. Perhaps she'll gather evidence to show it. But at the same time, Georgia has to move forward. Brian Kemp is going to be the governor of this state. He's going to have to make decisions for the people of the state, for businesses. Already, there are any number of Hollywood folks who are saying, boycott Georgia. It's a corrupt state. Brian Kemp stole the election. Alyssa Milano is one of those people. Abrams has already sent out a tweet saying, please, please don't do that. But I think she's going to have to be careful. And so, yes, conservative voices are attacking her for the way she handled herself. And on the other hand, there are liberals out there who are cheering her on. Well, what's the state going to do in the midst of that kind of polarized atmosphere? What will the stigma be that we're going to have to overcome?
Right. And for Kemp's election, his mandate, let's say,
yeah.
He doesn't, it's a pretty slim margin.
But it is a mandate. He did win the election.
Right.
And again, let Stacey Abrams prove what she can prove. But Brian Kemp will be the next governor of Georgia. And it's troubling to think that there are people out there who are going to see his tenure as being under a cloud because, like him or not, he's going to be making important decisions about our future.
Well, the norm in elections, candidates appeal to their bases in the primary elections, right? And then they try and, you know, you campaign from the fringes in the primaries, and then you run from the center, generally. But neither Kempster nor Abrams really did that. They stayed pretty much on the political extreme. So do you think Kemp is willing or able to govern on behalf of all of Georgia, given that partisan, that strategy as a candidate?
That's where the onus is on him.
Yeah.
They each have a burden moving forward. I've already said what I think hers is. To be careful about what she does to the image of this state in significant ways. Kemp has to reach out now. He has got to try to help us heal, and we'll see how he handles himself. He has his first public appearance sometime this morning. He's going to announce his transition team, and I presume when he does that, he'll have some comments to make about winning the election, and he'll have something to say perhaps about Stacey Abrams and how she ran her campaign. So the onus is on him, too, to reach out and show us that he can be a uniter.
Do you think that given all of the publicity, of course, this would have been an historic election had Stacey Abrams been elected the first Black African-American female governor in the country? We know enough about his real policies, what he was running on.
Yeah, I think we do. I think the one area where we need to know more about Brian Kemp, I mean, we know he's going to run a conservative administration.
Said he's going to continue the Deal legacy.
Yes, which, by the way, was
much more moderate.
Respected by both Republicans and Democrats alike. He'll leave office as one of the most popular governors in Georgia in recent times. But the one area where I think we're going to look for Kemp very quickly to tell us what he plans to do is health care. You know, Abrams ran on expanding Medicaid. Right. She had plans for how to ensure people across the state who are disadvantaged, haven't had insurance. And she talked about that over and over again. And as the policy wonk she is, had many details. Kemp's been more vague. Kemp says, well, we should look for certain kind of Medicaid waivers. But waivers can mean a lot of different things. So I think he's going to have to fairly quickly start fleshing out for us what his real plans are for healthcare. And I'll tell you what's interesting. There are Republicans in the legislature who have been advocates of expanding Medicaid for some time now. It'll be interesting to see whether they come to Kemp and ask him to think about whether this could be an opportunity for him to do some of that healing and bridging of the partisan divide. I suspect it'll be hard for him to go there, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Republicans as well as Democrats asking him to think about that.
Another priority, he said, was a religious liberty bill, and I'm wondering about that in the next legislative session. He says he's going to push for it. Business community largely against such a law, and a big reason that Governor Deal squashed efforts in the past to pass a bill threatening a veto. Would Kemp sign a religious liberty bill into law?
Well, so there was a... There are conservatives in the legislature, the most prominent being Josh McCoon from Columbus, who is now going to be out of office in January because he ran another race. They have pushed for a pretty harsh, looked at a pretty hard kind of religious liberty bill. What Kemp has been saying is that he would sign a bill that is compatible with the federal religious liberty bill, which was signed by President Clinton, a Democratic president, back in the early 90s. Now, the problem with that is we have no civil rights statute in Georgia, as we do in the federal law. So we're going to have to watch to see whether Kemp can balance the religious liberty advocates with the civil rights advocates who say you've got to protect all people and give some people their right to their religious convictions.
We're going to be speaking later in the show about HQ2 and what was actually in that package. But now that is off the table, does that lighten the pressure or make it much more likely that a religious liberty bill would
pass. Josh McCoon and a few other of his conservative colleagues have already said, let's get back to business. We need a religious liberty bill in Georgia. I don't doubt that it's going to come back in the next session, and it will be fascinating to watch how Brian Kemp handles himself as it unfolds, because again, he now is representing a broader swath of Georgians. The business community does matter to him now. He's working now not just as a friend of theirs. He's now the governor of the state.
Yeah. And, of course, there's a new first lady elect, let's say, Marty Kemp. Now, the current first lady has left quite a legacy, brought a lot of issues to the fore. What do you think Marty Kemp is going to do?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to hear what she decides to take on for her agenda. I haven't heard anything about it yet. But you're right about Sandra Diehl. The people of this state... The ones who know her love Sandra Diehl because she has been a generous and caring first lady. She's deeply concerned about education, working with young people. Those are big shoes to fill.
Well, let's see. Looking forward, has Kemp gotten enough credit for winning a difficult and close race? I mean, all this talk of Georgia turning blue or purple, he pretty much kept it red.
You know what's so hard about this election? And I go through this on Political Rewind all the time. The minute you start to say, Kemp ran a good race. I know there are people out there who don't want to hear that because they are so strongly anti-Kemp. But he decided to run his race in rural Georgia. He built up a huge margin in the rural communities of the state, outperformed President Trump in many communities, and staved off Stacey Abrams, a big vote count here in Metro. So Kemp's strategy was pretty smart to go to rural Georgia and win the votes. He does deserve credit for that. But he's not going to be able to go to the Capitol and legislate as the rural governor. There again, he's going to have to learn how to bridge a partisan divide. How does he work positively with Metro Atlanta?
Well, of course, Georgia's special legislative session extended into the weekend, started last week. Unusual to have one at all, as you and I discussed earlier on the show, let alone between Election Day and Inauguration Day. What do you think, Bill? Was that indeed the only way to speed relief from Hurricane Michael to Georgia, Southwest Georgia? Do you think there was an attempt there to influence the election at all?
No, I really don't. I take Nathan Diehl at his word on this. He felt that he needed legislative action to assure that his legislature supported the distribution of some $500 million in aid to rural Georgia. I do think he wanted to make a statement that the entire legislative body and the governor's office were supportive of all this. But he could have done that without a special session. I think many people believe that what Nathan Diehl really wanted to do was guarantee the Delta fuel tax break of some $40 million. He'd signed it into law as an executive order, but he wanted legislative approval for this before he left office. He didn't want it to get caught up in the politics of a new governor, of a new legislature. So I think more than anything else, that became really important to him. That's the takeaway that I have. And I get that from hearing an awful lot of people out there who have more closeness to this than I do.
A little legacy, a little future there with Bill Nygut. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Virginia.
He'll be back with Political Rewind this afternoon at 2:00.